This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are on a series, and the series is on the power of words. Amen? And our words are powerful. Do you believe that today? And the Bible talks a lot about words. And we need to get a handle on our words. You believe that today? And I love this. We are focusing on two main scriptures pertaining to our series. One is in James, and the other one's in Proverbs. And in James talks about that your words are powerful, and that it says it here in James 3, 2, and 4, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body indeed." So this is saying, James is saying that if you can get a handle on your words, you can actually control your body. Wow. Is that true? Well, this is what James is saying. He says that you can control your appetites. How many people like to control their appetites in the room today? Amen. And you can control that. And then he goes on and he says that our tongue is like bits in a horse's mouth, and it controls a horse, or like a rudder in a ship. And it talks about the wind can drive a ship a certain direction, but the rudder can turn that rudder, and it will move in the direction that you want it to go. So everything that you have today and what you've experienced today, it's what you said yesterday. I'm going to say it again. Everything you've experienced and what you've said yesterday, like you may have said, "I'm going to Exceed Life Church," and now you're here today. Yes. Amen. So what you said yesterday comes to pass today. So our words are powerful, are they not? And so I really believe that our words can change things. And do you ever feel like in your life that you're stuck? Have you ever felt like you were stuck in a certain situation, or stuck in a difficult situation where your words can change you and get you unstuck? Amen. I heard about a story of a Christian man that was a smoker, and you can be a Christian and a smoker. Amen. And you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have Jesus as your Savior, but just because Jesus is your Savior doesn't mean you're always free of some things that you deal with in the past. But that's the reason why you come to church, because you come to church so that you can receive more word, so that you can become more free. So that's the reason why you want to come to church. You want to get more free. How many people want to get more free in here? I want to get more free in here. And so he had a bad habit of smoking cigarettes. And so he came to the preacher and he said, "You know, I've tried everything to quit smoking. Do I have any ex-smokers in here?" Amen. And some of you may have tried everything to quit smoking. He said, "I've tried everything. I've had I had preachers cast devils out of me. It didn't work." I tried to go with that nicotine gum, and I tried to do all this, the patch, all this. Nothing worked. Nothing seemed to work. And he kept saying to the preacher, "I just can't quit. I just can't quit." And he said that probably three or four times. And the preacher said, "I know what your problem is." And he said, "I know too, it's cigarettes." He says, "No, it's your mouth. You keep saying you can't quit. You can't quit." And you get what you say. Amen. And what I'm going to say this, don't say can't, say can. In other words, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So you need to get the can't out of your vocabulary, and you can do all things through Christ. You can, with the power of God, you can quit anything that might be destroying your lives. Do you believe that today? So never say you can't. Always say you can. So he was bound up and he couldn't quit. But the preacher said, you know, if you just do these things, I believe that God can set you free. And so he said this, never say you can't quit, number one. And number two, every time that you light up a cigarette or every time you buy a pack of cigarettes, just thank the Lord that you're free from cigarettes. Of course, he said, well, how will that help me because I'm smoking cigarettes? Yes, you are, but you keep saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm free from cigarettes. Amen. Well, it sounded a little weird, but the Bible and faith seems weird to the natural mind. So faith always seems different than reality. In other words, we think reality is saying what it is. You know, it's like, you know, you have a dog and that dog's name, my dog's name is Favor. And so I let my dog Favor out of the house. Now if I know that the dog's out and I just say, where is Favor? Favor's not here. He's not going to come. But I'm going to have to say, Favor, come. So what am I doing? I'm calling Favor in. And I have Favor. Glory to God. That's why I named my dog Favor. Because I keep saying, come, Favor, come. And I have favor with all you good people. Glory to God. Amen. Nobody's leaving early out of this service this morning. Amen. And so I call him Favor. I was surprised that when we got the dog, I just came up with the idea. I'm just going to see if they would agree with me and call the dog Favor. I thought they would tell me I'm out of my mind. But everybody says, yes, that's a good name. I said, okay, we'll call him Favor. Amen. My wife said it was good. My kids said it was good. I'm like, well, praise God. I must have favor calling the dog Favor. Amen. So what am I saying? I'm saying there's a faith principle. Faith principle. You have to call what you're believing God to do in your life. And what we do is we call what is, but we have to call those things that be not as though they were. In other words, we call into existence what we're believing. We don't call what it's not. We call what we believe that God wants it to be. Do you believe that God wants it to be good in your life? Do you believe that God wants you to be blessed in your life? Do you believe that God wants increase in your life? I believe that. And so this man, out of a period of 2 or 3 weeks, every time he would have his cigarettes, he would confess it. And he got to a point where it was a habit. And he would say, thank you, Lord, I'm free from smoking cigarettes. And one day when he said it, right before he lit up, the power of God hit him. And he said he lost the whole desire to smoke cigarettes. And he never picked up another cigarette since. What am I saying? I'm saying that God's power comes forth like his blessings. God's blessings are voice activated. Amen. So you got to activate God's blessings in your life by speaking some word. Amen. And so really, if you're going to break, anybody have any, well, I won't go there, but you might have some habits that you might want to get rid of. And so if you have some habits that you might want to get rid of, number one, one of the keys to this young man's deliverance was that he hated the habit. Now, you're not going to get rid of anything that you love. Now, if you love it, it's not going to go away because you're not going to desire to get rid of it. So because you think what you're doing is a benefit, but really it's a detriment. So a lot of times we do things to medicate our problems, but we need to meditate our problems. In other words, instead of going to a cigarette for peace, we might need to go to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. But instead of going to alcohol for peace, we might need to go to Psalms 23, 91. We might need to get the word of God in there. So you got to hate those things that are destroying life. This young man hated the addiction that he was in. Number two, he had to listen to the preacher. Now, if you're gonna win in this life, you got to get a preacher in your life, and you got to get a preacher to talk to you and to help you and guide you into walking in more freedom. And so everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a coach. Even professional athletes, they have coaches. Even the best of the best have people that speak into their lives to tell them how to stay excellent and how to get more excellent. So we need coaches in our lives. We need people that can speak and help us to move forward. You need, you know, the Bible says, if you listen to the prophets, you will profit. So you will prosper. Amen. And so I love that. So he listened to the preacher. And then when he did all this, God honor his words. Amen. I love that. And God will honor your words. In Proverbs 18:20, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. I love that. So this verse has a big part in saying that our words that we speak should be words of increase. In other words, we should use our words more than just conversation, and it should be used so we can move forward in our lives. And I believe that God wants us increasing. Do you believe that God is a God of increase? There's scientists that say that the universe, they've studied the universe. I don't know if you ever heard this before, but they say the universe is continuing expanding. It's expanding more and more. In other words, God just doesn't stop. He keeps going. He's like the Energizer Bunny. Keeps going and going. Anybody remember that commercial? And going. So God keeps going. Universes are being created. And you know, the greatest aspect of God is, yes, it's his love, but it's his creative ability. Amen. If you think about that, in Genesis, the first thing in Genesis that talks about God, it talks that God is a creator. So God wants us, and he's given us the power to be creative. You believe that today? And I love this in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, talking about increase. It says here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this is where I want to get to, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So we see here that in this verse here, that it says the increase of his government. I like that. God wants his kingdom increasing. Do you believe that today? And I love that. In another verse, in the New Century Version, says this way, the power and peace will be his kingdom and will continue to grow forever. So God's kingdom is going to continue to grow forever. In the God's Word translation, it says his government and peace will have unlimited growth. So what am I saying to you today? I'm saying that God, that the Bible says we need to imitate God as dear children. It says that in Ephesians. In other words, do you believe that God wants you to be like him? In other words, God is good, so he wants you to be good. God is benevolent. He's a giver. He wants you to be a giver. God is gracious. He wants you to be gracious. Do you believe that today? So God wants us to be like him. If God is ever increasing, then God wants us to ever increase. In other words, he doesn't want us staying the same in our faith. He wants us growing in our faith. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that God wants you growing? I believe that today. And I love that. So I believe that God wants us increasing and growing and have unlimited growth in our lives. And then this is the scripture that I want to focus on of the series. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you're going to eat what you talk about. And if you're talking about how bad the economy is, how you can't afford to buy stuff, no, God can help you through an economy that's tough, because your economy is not earth's economy. Your economy is heaven's economy. Do you believe that today? And so God can provide for you even in a tough climate. Remember that there was a patriarch in the Old Testament, and this patriarch sowed in the land of famine, and he sowed in famine, and the Bible says that God gave him a hundredfold return. So God can give you a hundredfold return even in famine. Amen. So today, so if you act like that God wants to increase, you need to speak increase in your life. You need to speak life and not death, blessing and not curse, prosperity instead of poverty, peace over worry, faith over doubt, health over sickness and defeat, promises of God's word over the problems in our lives. When you start speaking like that, you'll become a mighty conqueror in God. Amen? Now, I want to get a truth to you this morning that I don't think a lot of people focus on in the power of our words. And this is a powerful truth, so buckle in and get ready. In Matthew 10, 32 and 33, it says, "Therefore, whoever," this is Jesus speaking, it's in red, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny you before my Father who is in heaven." Now, this is a very sobering scripture. And we see here a spiritual truth in the power of confession. And notice the confession. When we confess something, Jesus confesses something. Amen. Notice that? And when we confess Jesus as our Lord, he confesses us as his children in heaven. So there's power in confessing the lordship of Jesus Christ. But if you deny Jesus and you don't believe he's the Son of God, well, then you're not confessed before the Father and the angels. So you can discount your eternity in heaven by the words that you speak. Is that powerful? So I want to speak words like Jesus is Lord. I was on the phone the other day to a telemarketer. Anybody ever have any telemarketers call you? And that always get, and sometimes, you know, when you get with a telemarketer, or you get a phone, you don't even want to talk to them. You say, "I'm not interested." Click, you know. But I like to use telemarketers as a way to minister the gospel to, because you can start talking to them about Jesus. Then they want to go click. And so I had the opportunity to minister to a telemarketer, and she was a sweet lady. I said, you sound really good with your job." She's trying to sell me some kind of timeshare, trying to get me, you know, 3 days and 4 nights at some hotel free if I listen to the spill. But I started talking to her about Jesus, and I asked her, you know, if she's a Christian, because she sounds so nice, and she said she's Catholic. And so, you know, and a lot of people like to give their denomination where they come from. And just because you're confirmed in the church doesn't mean that you're saved and you're a new creation in Christ. And because a lot of people relegate their religion to their salvation. And religion will never get you saved. Only Jesus can get you saved. And being confirmed in a church won't get you saved. Getting your name on a roster of a church won't get you saved. You got to get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So as I'm ministering to her, I let her know, you know, she told me she was a CEO Christian, Christmas and Easter only. And as I was talking to her, I said, "Listen," and I was explaining to her about salvation and how people that are religious go to church out of obligation, but people that have a relationship with Jesus has, you know, go to church out of love. And I said to her, I said, "What do you think it would take to get somebody to heaven?" She just said, "Being a good person, maybe following the Ten Commandments." You know, a lot of people think that way. But you know what? Following the Ten Commandments without Jesus, you'll still end up in hell. Because you can't follow the Ten Commandments perfectly. You got to get Jesus to transform your life. So only the way to get into heaven is by Jesus. He's the only way. And so I explained that to her. I made it so simple even a six-year-old could understand. And I got her to a point. I said, "Listen, now you understand that you have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Are you ready to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And I got her right there. And she said, I said, it's a simple prayer. You can just say it real quick. She says, can I say it to myself? And I thought for a second. I said, no, you got to say it out loud. And she started coughing and sputtering. And I said, no, because the Bible says you have to confess before men, and God will confess before the, or Jesus will confess before the angels. As I was about ready to sink it again, she hung up. And so, but I was that close to getting here to confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Why don't people confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Because of fear. They're afraid to let go and let God. They're afraid because they are living their life for themselves. And if they get God in their life, they might have to change some things. They might have to change the way they live their life. So they get in fear because if they put Jesus in the driver's seat, they feel that their life will be out of control. But in reality, your life will be in more control. In reality, without Jesus, your life is really chaotic. And with Jesus, your life is in order. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so she didn't understand that because she wanted to hold on to her life. And Jesus said, if you try to hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus and the gospel's sake, you will gain it. For what is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What is it to get everything that this world has to offer and not make it to heaven at the end? It's not worth it. I would rather be, you know, a doorkeeper in the tent of my God than dwell in the mansions of the wealthy. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I got my amen corner over here. Glory to God. My Lord Jesus. I think I'm going to give you an offering after the service. Amen. Glory to God. I love my amen corner. Amen. Amen. So we see this, that there's a principle in confession, and that principle is what we say, he says. If we confess him, he confesses us. If we deny him, he denies us. Now we see this principle in Matthew as well. In 12:36, it says, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. So Jesus is saying it the same way. We'll be justified before God by our words, or we will be condemned before God by our words. So by our words, we'll be either justified or condemn. And you know, if you receive Jesus and confess Jesus as Lord, then you are blood bought. You are in the family, glory to God. And you need to start confessing every day the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. As you confess the Lordship over your relationships, confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your finances, confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your health. Confess him because he makes everything better. Amen. So don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to say this, that God wants everybody saved. Some people may not believe that. Some people believe in this predestination, that God only, that he predestinates people for heaven and some for hell. I believe he predestinates everybody for heaven. Glory to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God didn't so love just the chosen, that God just wants to be saved. It's the entire world. I love that. So everybody has an opportunity, but not everybody will come into the kingdom because not everybody will confess Jesus as Lord. And I like what it says in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Here it goes, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So right here, Peter got the revelation that God's not willing that anybody perish. He wants all to come to repentance in Jesus Christ. And repentance is very easy. You know, there might be some things in your life that you may not want to let go of, but if you embrace Jesus, it might be things that God may not be pleased with. But if you just embrace Jesus first, the things that don't please God will fall away from you. You don't have to make yourself do good. God will inspire you and bring you into the goodness of God. Do you believe that today? So another powerful scripture, and I love this, talking about that our words are connected to Jesus' words. And this is a parable, and this is a powerful parable. And it's a parable about the talents. And Jesus talks about the talents, that he gives 5 talents to one man, 2 talents to another man, and 1 talent to another man. Jesus says, he talks about a king giving these talents, which represents financial finances. And so the king goes back after a while to each person that he gave a talent to. And the 5-talent man doubled it. And so the king said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You had a little, but you doubled it, and you did good. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And then the 2-talent man doubled that, and the king was impressed. But that 1-talent man, somebody say 1-talent man. And, you know, he goes here in Luke 19:21, he says this, because he didn't do anything with the talent, but he hid it in a napkin. And he says here, and this is his response in Luke 19, 21-22. "I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in. You reap what you did not sow." Now, this man is saying this about the king, and he's saying that you are a hard man. And then his master replied, "I will judge you by your own words." And then he goes and says, "You wicked servant, did you know that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in or reaping what I did not sow?" And so what this man did was he was misunderstanding who God was. He had a perverted idea of who God is. See, some people won't follow God because they say, "Well, you know, if God is the God of love, why is there a hell? And if there's a hell, why are God sending people to hell if God's a good God?" Well, God's not sending anybody to hell. He's trying to get everybody to heaven. But we, out of our own ways, will end up there if we don't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And so hell is a place where it's void of God. Heaven is a place where God is in it. And so when you choose not to live your life with God in your life, then you're going to choose to live your life, once you're done with this life, without God in it. And so God will honor your choice in this life. And so this man, he buried his talent, and he was perverted in his thoughts, saying that God didn't, you know, reap what he sowed. He had a perverted idea of who God is. And people say, "If God's love, why is there a hell?" Well, Jesus paid a price so that you wouldn't have to go there. Jesus paid he was crucified. It was one of the worst punishments a person could ever receive. He received the worst punishment known to man. It was a crucifixion, agonizing, and a terrible death. Why? So that we could escape hell. For us to say we don't believe in Jesus, we don't believe in the sacrifice that he paid for, we're discounting God's grace for our lives. And what where we're going to end up is not heaven, it will be hell. But you don't have to end up in hell, you can end up in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. How? By confessing the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I love that. So what you confess, Jesus confesses. So this is a spiritual principle. In Hebrews 3:1, it says here, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ." I love this, what Paul is saying. Paul says that we're holy brethren. Can I get out of my seat this morning? Yes. I'm going to get out of my seat, and I'm not going to get fired for that, am I? And I'm going to get, listen, Paul is saying that you're holy brethren. Say I'm a holy person. We're not just sinners saved by grace. You know, you got a lot of Christians now. Oh, I'm just a sinner. No, you were a sinner. You're saved by grace. Now you're a holy brethren. You're separated from darkness into the kingdom of light. And then he says here, you're partakers of the heavenly calling. Somebody say, I'm a partaker of the heavenly calling. I love that. And then he says, this is Jesus. You know, he has a couple hats that he wears. He wears a hat of Savior, amen. He wears a hat of Deliverer, amen. He wears a hat of Apostle and High Priest. And he's the Apostle and High Priest of our confession. So what does that mean? Well, confession means, in this context, saying the same thing. In other words, if we say the same thing that God says about us, that's what we are. If we're holy brethren, then I'm a holy brother in Christ. And if you're a lady, you're a holy sister in Christ. Amen? And if you are a partaker of the heavenly calling, then you're partakers of the heavenly calling. And so what we're saying here is a confession is saying the same thing. We need to say the same thing that God says about us. Amen. And we need to agree with God that we're blood washed, that we're new creations in Christ. Amen. And so I love this because there's an element of truth here that when we line up our words with God's words about us, that's what we become. We don't want to line up our words with what people that might be negative say about us, or maybe some of our relatives know some of our weaknesses and tells us that we're this or that. No, you are what God says that you are. And you got to get a revelation of this. I love this in Isaiah 54:17. It says here, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I love that. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Where do you get your righteousness? It's not from your good works. Your righteousness do not come from your good works. Where does your righteousness come? It comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from how good you are. Your righteousness is from the Lord. But I love what it says in here. It says that every tongue that rises against you, it says that you, now this is powerful this morning. It says that you shall condemn. It's not saying God's condemning. You condemn the words that come against you. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? In other words, if the devil's whispering in your ear and telling you you're a loser, you better talk back to him. You better learn how to talk some trash back to the devil. You better say, I'm a conqueror in Christ. Well, I won't say trash. That might not be the best way of saying it. But what I'm saying is you need whenever the devil gives you a thought that you're not going to make it, you're going to have to speak a word to overcome that thought. I can do all things. I can make it because God is with me. Amen. And so these words are thoughts that will come to our minds to say that we're not going to be able to make it, but you're going to make it. Because the Bible says that the gift that he's put in you, he will make it good until the day of Christ. So you, what do you confess? You confess that you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You confess that you're new creations in Christ Jesus. You confess that you're washed in the blood of Jesus. You confess that you're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. You confess that you're triumphant in Christ. You confess that Lord always causes you to triumph in all things. What if you started talking like that every day? What if you start speaking like that every day? You would become spiritual giants in the kingdom of God. I love that. And so in Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing this, that we have a great high priest who has passed through heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So here in Hebrews, it's saying here that we need to hold on to the confession of our faith. The confession that Jesus is Lord. We have to hold on to that. Why? Because there's spiritual forces that will try to get you to let go of your confession of faith. There's spiritual forces out here. The enemy wants you to give up and let go of the rights and the blessings that you have in God. And it says here, hold fast to what you have. Why? Because the enemy wants you to let go. And you can't let go of the promises of God. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says here, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called, having confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So here, this is how you fight a good fight. You fight a good fight by confessing a good confession. That's how you fight a good fight, in front of many witnesses. And you might say, well, you mean I need to start telling everybody that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? Well, mainly you need to say it to yourself. But when you're saying it out loud, you have God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You have angels. You have demons listening to you. Witnesses. There's witnesses witnessing to the words that you speak, and make sure you're speaking the words of faith and victory in the face of defeat and poverty. Glory to God. So you must continue to speak increase even in an economy of decrease. You must keep confessing Jesus is Lord no matter what the pressures of the enemy, because sometimes the devil will try to get you. And listen, a lot of people, you know, were martyrs, and they're martyrs today. And a lot of these martyrs, they under pressure, these people would be put under pressure by their captors, and they would try to get them to recant Jesus. They would try to get them to say, "What if you just tell us that you don't believe that Jesus is Lord anymore, we will let you go." And a lot of these martyrs, most of them, as far as I read and I understand, none of them would recant Jesus. And they would die under excruciating pain and death. They'd be thrown to lions. They'd be burned at stakes. Why? Because they weren't willing to deny their Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if we can't confess Jesus when it's basically easy, hello, how are we going to do it when it's hard? So I'm going to say this, that troubled days are coming. Your faith will be tested. And we're coming into a place where the gospel, where people are coming against the gospel, and people are coming against Jesus, and people will come against us. But I'm not going to stop confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep confessing it. I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can go to the Father but through Him. So I want to encourage you to confess Jesus as Lord every day of your life. Be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you confess the victorious words of the Bible and what the Bible says about you, Jesus will agree in heaven, and you will receive all that God has for you to receive. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And Father, I thank you for these wonderful people here listening and watching. And Father, I'm asking, Lord God, that you would draw them by your Spirit. Maybe you've never made the confession of Jesus being Lord. And today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. You can confess Jesus as Lord today, and you can receive eternal life, a home in heaven. And so if that's you today, you've never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I would like to lead you in this simple prayer. Just say this out loud and mean it in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.